I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Hello, and welcome back to Keanu Believe It, the Talk Film Society podcast that is all Keanu Reeves, all the time. I'm Sam Van Haren, assistant editor at TFS, and a lifelong fan of the singular Keanu Reeves. I'm your guide through his diverse and interesting career. Each week, a guest and I discuss a film from his filmography, which we are working through in chronological order. On this episode, we'll be discussing Siberia. I'm happy to welcome Sean Beatty back to the show to discuss the romantic crime drama. How's it going, Sean?
It's going pretty well. The movie was a movie.
It's a movie. There are characters. There are events. Whether they're interesting, up to debate. Not much debate, because it's not a very good film.
No, it kind of just meanders through the romance and the crime.
Very true. One of my least favorite Keanu movies working through this so far. I'm broken record at this point that it's Feeling Minnesota, which is similarly, that it deals with romance and crime, and I think that one's much worse, much more actively irritating, but this one it's just kind of boring.
I can't say I've had the displeasure of Feeling Minnesota, but if it's worse than this, I may put that off for a while.
That's recommended. Yeah, that episode was a fun episode to record, not so much to watch. But so this movie, Keanu does his best, as usual. But there's nothing here for any of the characters, especially his, which is weird considering he's the lead.
Yeah, I mean, he's the lead, but you don't get the sense that he has much of an internal life going on. With the movie, it's just kind of shifting him from point A to point B to the Russian diner owner's bed and back.
Exactly.
And also Molly and Ringwald is there for some reason.
Yeah, for barely any time. I don't even think a minute. I don't even think she's in a full minute of the film.
No, I mean, I'm happy to see she's still getting work, but it's not very much.
She plays the wife to Keanu Reeves' character, and she, as we get through it here, she's literally like, there's one flashback scene and then she's on Skype.
I don't think the Skype call is moving either. I think it's a still image.
Yeah, it's literally just her chest up, like shoulders up, in class, and they probably actually use, like, that's what it feels like they actually use Skype to record that.
It would not surprise me in the least, because for all the... I have to say this. Molly Ringwald probably has the most lively character in the movie.
That I wouldn't disagree, to be honest.
And I really like Keanu, more often than not. But he just kind of... He doesn't seem to have much to hold on to in this movie, character-wise.
Yeah, and it's strange because this is one of the... he produced this one. He's a producer on this film, so clearly he saw something in it. I think, honestly, it was the director is Matthew Ross, who directed a film similarly. It's a romantic crime film called Frank and Lola that I have not seen, but I've heard some pretty decent things on it that said that, like, he was a it has Michael Shannon in it. It's got I haven't seen it, but I've heard some things that said, like, he was an interesting, promising voice. But he wrote and directed that one. This one he just directed, so I wonder if it's got to be that they saw that film and are like, okay, maybe he'll come on and make this something more than the script has to offer, and sadly, that was not the case.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the core story that's there in the script, it does sound interesting on paper. I mean, it's all about, you know, the underworld of, you know, backroom diamond merchants. And
right, because Keanu plays this, you know, diamond trader that's dealing with Russian crime bosses and see the underworld. And yeah, I mean, on paper, yeah, that could be great. That could be a really tense and interesting way to... but then it has... It's more interested in this romance subplot. And neither of them come together in any interesting way, and it just feels lost.
On watching it, I was kind of waiting for like some reveal about Katya, their love interest's connection to the underworld in Russia somehow. I was waiting for some kind of reveal that way, like they were, you know, spying on him the whole time or something, because, you know, the Russian mob has a bit of a reputation for being rather, you know, devious that way. But
right, that never comes.
Yeah, no. It never comes. It never connects. It's just she's wrapped up in it because she got in bed with him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we might as well. Yeah. Start. So the opens with and this movie just also. So I've seen it twice now, because unfortunately, because of, you know, what I'll do for Keanu. But that the first time I was really lost. I had to, you know, after I finished it, I was like, I went back and watched the first scenes again just because I didn't follow what happened. Like, there was, the way it starts is like, Keanu is, he's a diamond trader going to St. Petersburg, and he talks with this guy on Skype, who's, I guess, maybe his contact, but it never gives us any information about who that guy is. And, but his character is the major... that they're constantly, he's looking for this character, but I completely miss it as the same character. It's insane, kind of.
It does feel like they're talking about two different characters in that scene. And it does disjoint the whole crime story aspect of the film.
Right, which, I mean, fortunately, again, you're more, it's like, it's more interested in the romance. So, like, you can still kind of, it doesn't make you, like, confused through it. But it's just, like, when they talk about this guy named Pyotr, I honestly had no idea it was that guy that he was talking with in the first opening scene.
Yeah, they don't establish that very well. And I guess they tried to make up for that by emphasizing the romance aspect. But I have to say, they have no chemistry with each other in this movie.
No, absolutely not. And
it's like they romance at each other.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it for sure. But like, so yeah, the basic is that Keanu's supposed to be meeting with this clearly, you know, crime boss guy named Volkov, clearly unstable when we meet him. And it's this actor that I've seen play this character a lot. Anytime I've seen him, I mean, I haven't seen him a ton of things, but I've seen him a couple times and he's basically been the same kind of like, he's the guy that you would get to play
the Russian
sleazy
monster.
Russian crime boss.
Yeah.
But he's meeting with him. He's supposed to. So this guy, this bald guy that he was talking to on Skype, is named Pyotr, and he's his contact. Again, it's never really clear how they actually work together, or like it never lets you get into the world of the diamond trade, which is bizarre for a movie where it's like that's literally the whole all of the. There's no. It doesn't get into that at all.
Yeah, I mean, when you feel like you learn more about the underworld diamond trade from Blood Diamond, I think you've got a lot of ground to cover.
Exactly. And so he's supposed to be meeting with this guy to sell him $50 million worth of a rare blue diamond. But his contact is nowhere to be found. And so now he is in the lurch with a very dangerous figure. But the way this opens, these opening titles are so ridiculous. They feel, and they're from a completely different film. I don't know how this happened.
They make it feel like it's going to be this like action-packed kind of like, you know, Cold War spy movie kind of thing, and it's just Keanu gets on a plane.
Yeah, and they like it's almost Bond-like, and it's, you know, there's like big diamonds and the big block text. It's really bizarre. It makes it try to think like it's, yeah, like you described, like a like maybe like a 70s foreign romance thriller, which would be great. I like those kind of movies, but it's not remotely what it is.
I'm not even sure the movie itself fully knew what it was when it was getting made, because it shifts almost in tone from scene to scene in really kind of uneven ways.
Yeah, it's just, and Keanu, like, there's just nothing to this character whatsoever besides the fact that he's a married man who does diamond stuff, does illegal, you know, borderline illegal things, and falls for this first woman that he meets in Russia or in Siberia, and it's just none of it tracks, none of it has any kind of emotional weight to it whatsoever.
Yeah, there's just a feeling that everything happens because the plot needs it to, rather than any of the characters deciding for it to happen.
For sure. So we get through this opening credits, and then nothing really happens. There's no real tension in the scene between Keanu and this Russian guy. Like, we just think, okay, he's gonna, this scene should establish, like, oh, this guy's a threat. But really, besides the fact that they tell us that he's supposed to be scary, nothing about what he does or his goons made me tense at all.
Yeah, and I think part of that may come down to that actor's performance, because he plays it off so congenially with Keanu mm-hmm. in that scene that you feel like they've just done a lot of business together, and this is just how things go with them.
Yeah.
There's no suspense or hope for the unexpected to happen here. It's just it comes off as a boardroom scene.
Yeah, for sure. And the only thing that brings him to from St. Petersburg to Siberia, it, again, it's just played off very strangely, where it just like he basically goes there because the brother of this Pyotr guy lives there. That's literally the only thing that brings him there. It's nothing like he has to maybe he thinks that's where they would be. It's just literally he's going to see his brother. And that's the way it plays. Maybe we're supposed to think that there's more to it than that, but that's not how it happens at all.
And the funny thing is, like, I think he actually does meet up with his brother in the, you know, very, very early yep. on in the movie. Mm-hmm. And then he just sticks around for like another 90 minutes.
Yeah. So he gets to Siberia, goes to the hotel where, so Pyotr was staying in this hotel, so he goes into this room and finds this candle, and there's this shot, like, this candle becomes very important later in the film, and we'll find out, but it's basically, he just wants a drink because this is stressful, so he goes to a cafe, and then this is where he meets the love interest, and it's very, and I don't think there's anything wrong. I think the actress does, again, fine. I think the acting isn't necessarily bad in this film. There's just nowhere to go with it.
Yeah, the material really fails them on this, and there's not a lot to work with to try to elevate it. I mean, the characters just kind of exist, and then they get together because they have to.
Right, and so he goes to this cafe, and she's there with her overprotective brother and his drunk friends who are being, you know, typically, you know, loud and kind of sexist and very, you know, belligerent to the point where, like, they start talking about having that, you know, attractive men have ugly penises for some reason, just for him to, you know, try to stand up for this woman. And then she, of course, says, like, you know, you didn't need to do that.
And then she falls for him anyway.
Yeah, exactly. and she even, like, says, like, you know, that he basically made those guys leave without paying. And then they all, it's like, really, just, they just needed that to happen so that he could get beat up in the parking lot, and so that, and literally the only thing that starts this romance is, so she takes him home after he gets beat up, and basically her, it's a small town, so everyone assumes that they had sex, so she figures, like, okay, what the hell, we'll just do it anyway. But then it doesn't happen for, like, you know, like a half hour before that actually, it's very meandering for sure.
That whole half hour could be practically cut out too for the value it provides to the plot.
Yeah, like she did not need, like she ends up going with him to question Piotr's brother, but without him telling her any, like, I don't think there's ever, it's really bizarre how, like, the plots are barely connected besides the fact that she shows up in times when she might not, you know, later on. That's the only thing that forces them together. It's a shame. Because I could see a version of this playing better, but there's just nothing there.
Yeah, it comes off as though the script was either underbaked or revised too much in pre-production to account for a lowered budget. Because it seems like there was more that they wanted to do, maybe, and couldn't achieve it, or they just decided to write something as cheaply as possible and go for it.
Right. And so, very, you know, exposition dump heavy, the scene where he finds out that Piotr is missing because he tried to make fake versions of the diamonds and sell them to another horrible Russian crime boss that we never see, but that so he was trying to make, you know, double the money by selling the fake versions to this guy while selling the real versions to Volkov. And I like how it's nothing, there's no mystery whatsoever. It's literally the first person he talks to tells him exactly what the deal is.
And on watching the scene, you sit there thinking, like, this all could have been taken care of, like, 20 minutes ago via a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
For all the dramatic weight that it's lent, you know, in the movie.
Right. So, in the end, she basically says, like, if I take you to this, you know, meeting and we still don't hate each other, then we'll hook up. But instead, too much time takes too long, so she ends up having to go back to the cafe, and so he goes back and then meets the family again, and then there's this really bizarre scene where he leaves with the drunk brothers, and the drunk brother invites him bear hunting, and for some reason he goes on this bear hunt.
Yeah, why would you go on a bear hunt with a brother with a set of brothers, no less, who clearly dislike you and are telling you they're bringing weapons?
Right. And there's very various scenes where it's pointed out that Keanu dressed for St. Petersburg, so he doesn't have a proper coat. So, like, even on that point, like, he'd be cold, so why would he go? But we need this because the very blunt parallels between this bear hunt scene and the ending, but it's like, and I get what they're trying to say, but it's so on the nose that it doesn't work at all.
It's a scene that's purely there for foreshadowing to try and get you to think, oh, they were setting this up when it happens later on.
Right.
And it doesn't work at all.
No.
They even attempt to, like, try to set it up so that, like, that's how he gets in good with the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so just, like, of course that's what happens, you know?
Yeah. They end up sleeping together, and then there's like a 20-minute or like 10-minute scene of just them, like, I guess, falling for each other. Like, they have there's a bathtub scene, there's several sex scenes, but it's literally like saying, oh, they're falling for each other because we need them too, and that's it.
I mean, this is just a callback to one of the previous episodes of the podcast I've been on, but the romance montage from Flying Dream to Believe, whatever title it goes by this week in home video, that love montage was more effective at selling a romance than this entire movie.
You're not wrong. And So after, before he ends up sleeping with Katya, he has this Skype scene with Molly Ringwald where he tours her around his hotel room. And it's like, again, her lines of dialogue between those, their exchanges are honestly the most believably, human moments in the film. And it's literally completely pointless to the rest of the film.
Yeah, I mean,
it says a lot being a bad man because he's cheating on his wife.
It says a lot that he bounces better off of Molly Ringwald via Skype than he does most of the actors he actually shares scenes with. which is not to knock Keanu. He's a good actor when he has a strong cast around him.
Yeah. There's just nothing here. I honestly feel like they should have just had Matthew Ross rewrite the thing. Because, again, I haven't seen Frank and Lola, but I've heard some good things. I've heard no good things about this film, and rightfully so. But it's probably just a really quick turnaround, and so he had no time to maybe even remotely elevate it. Or bring in someone, again, like that film, Michael Shannon is the villainous character. And so Michael Shannon can bring anything out of, can bring a lot to the table.
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, he can bring menace just by sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm. But they don't have that here at all.
No.
And Volkov's not in it nearly enough to be any kind of threat.
No,
anyway.
You don't feel any kind of menace with him. Like, even in the scene where the storylines supposedly actually, overlap a little bit, where Katya shows up to the diamond meeting.
Yeah, which is so dumb. He calls her over and then, to bring, basically he finds out where the diamonds were being held are in the candle. So that's where the candle came in.
Right.
And so literally her whole reason for connecting to the story is that he asks her to bring the candle and then she follows him along to the meet without him knowing. And then we have this really very problematic scene where just out of nowhere, she's forced to perform oral sex on Volkov, and it's just gross, and not in a effective way, just in a makes you feel dirty kind of way.
It more makes you wonder, who thought this was a good idea for a scene?
Mm-hmm. Especially because it never comes into play, except for the fact that, they still like each other despite this thing happening.
Which is so gross. Mm-hmm. It's so gross. I mean, at least in Indecent Proposal, Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore broke up.
Mm-hmm.
This is, basically the same situation minus any promise of monetary gain. And, they stay together. And No.
Yeah. Earlier on, Keanu had the chance to sell the diamonds to a guy that he actually knows and trusts a little more. And, why wouldn't he have just done that? I know he didn't have the diamonds at the time, but just, leave. And there's even a part where he's that South African guy says, you probably just leave the country, dude. Just do it. But no, he's not going to, because we need this romance and thing that never even pays off in the end anyway, so.
Yes, they set up a good amount of things in this movie that just don't pay off at all. Everything with the South African is set up so that it's he had an out the entire time, but he had to stay because of her. But you don't believe that at any point.
Right. And so then it all leads to basically him only having the fake diamonds. So he's got to try to convince Volkov that they're the real diamonds. And I don't know if we ever... Maybe this is just me not being able to follow along, but I don't know if we ever find out what happened to the actual diamonds.
I think it's implied that Piotr just ran off with them and tried to sell them and then tried to run off with the money.
Right.
But that's never stated.
Yeah, exactly. And so it all leads to this, again, the scene that could be, a tense scene where he's going to try to convince Volkov they're real, but it's there's no tension whatsoever. He just, there's maybe a problem that he basically just scares the guy that was verifying the diamonds, and then Volkov just accepts it because of that forced oral sex scene earlier. It's just gross.
So gross. So.
Yeah, and it's like he just. Anyway, with anything, one thing leads to another, and it all leads to Keanu finding out where Piotr last was. So he goes back to Siberia. Very easily gets Katya to, forgive him and like let's fall in love.
And her brothers.
And the brothers were like, oh, we were just goofing around. We didn't actually hate you. We're good guys. We're just giving you a hard time because she's our sister. Because he says, if you hurt her again, I'll kill you. Like, that's all. That's literally the extent of it. But it's all leading to this, scene where, so he goes out to this remote cabin, and he finds Piotr tortured to death, frozen in a shack, and basically realizes that he's fucked. There's no way to get out of this without, Katya and probably even his wife being, murdered because of his actions. But also not really his actions, because he really didn't, he's selling diamonds to criminals, but none of these things are actually his fault, because it's all just because Piotr got greedy. Like, it's really bizarre.
Piotr got greedy, and then he got duped into basically being the fall guy for selling the fake diamonds and then passing them off after, like, going through all that to try and, like, become, quote, brothers with Volkov, mm-hmm. which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No. So it all leads to this sudden, that there needs to be this shootout that's actually pretty well put together. Like, it's not great, but it's not, there's a little bit of tension there, and it's just
decent sense of geography. Keanu
shooting dudes in the forest, like, but it just comes out of nowhere so fast that, like, why do we have nothing to believe at this point that Keanu's character would be able to hold off an army of heavily armed goons.
I mean, aside from the one shot that he took on the bear hunt.
But right, where he put the dog out of his misery, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so he's good with a small caliber rifle on a dog mm-hmm. at like 50 feet away. I don't see that translating to 12 mob goons with automatic weapons.
Right, and it even makes the...
Like, he goes on... He almost goes into, like, low-key John Wick mode.
Yeah. But it even makes the subtext of the bear hunt from earlier being, related to this, as it makes it text, because he asks his brother, like, her brother, like, on your bear hunts, does the bear ever survive? It's like, oh, I get it. Keanu's the bear. It's like, ugh. But it leads to this shootout, and Volkov's main goon shows up, and Keanu dies. And it's like, it's nothing in a way that it would maybe be effective if, he died to save Katya by taking out Volkov's goon, but Volkov's goon survives. So basically he fucked up and she's going to die, right? Like, that's...
Like, she's going to die, his wife's going to die, and he's already dead. So it just, total failure on his part.
Yeah, and on any kind of thematic weight to it whatsoever, because, like, okay, at least, yeah, I wouldn't have liked it if, he ended up winning, but, like, it just makes it feel all pointless.
I almost feel like this should have been, like, a Nicolas Cage Tax Season movie.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of what it feels like, to be honest. And at least, in the end, we got John Wick 3 coming out this year, so
hey, it's fine. And Toy Story 4.
Exactly. This movie, yeah, I didn't hate it. I'm never going to watch it again. Definitely didn't like it. But it didn't make me want to,
it's hard,
put my head through a plate glass window.
Yeah,
but
it's hard to feel any kind of way about this movie.
Exactly. It's just, you forget about it as soon as you hit stop. I see why it went straight to, more or less, straight to video.
I can't imagine it going anywhere else.
Exactly. Anyway, as I guess, you know, that basically does it for this movie. It's on Amazon Prime. I'd say just don't watch it. But, you know, if you're a Keanu completionist, go ahead and give it a shot. There's this one moment where, like, Keanu puts his phone in a, you know, GPS blocker thing. And he does it in this way that makes it seem, you know, Keanu is always, even that stupid, pointless event, Keanu does it like he's done it a million times. He does it with a seriousness that, and for whatever reason, if that's the only scene that stands out to me, you know your movie's in trouble.
And that movie happens in the first, that scene, I'm sorry, happens in the first 5 minutes.
It does. So that's it, Siberia. Thanks, Sean.
I'd thank you, but you made me watch Siberia.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for your sacrifice.
It's quite all right.
And thanks again. Yeah, thanks again. And thank you all for listening. Join me next time where we'll be discussing Destination Wedding. Until then, keeping excellent to each other.